Today's shiur is Masechta Shavuos Daf Chaf, and we will begin on Daf Yutes Amud Beis at the new Perek, the new Mishnah. Actually, as we said when we began learning the Masechta, the primary subject of our Masechta is Shavuos, making a Shavua and a full Shavua and the obligations of what is and is not considered a Shavua. But as we discussed already at the beginning of the Masechta, the Mishnah, the first Mishnah in the Masechta, taught us that just like if somebody violates under certain circumstances a Shavua, he's chayiv, a carbon oil of Yoyrit, so too is the Halacha, as we have been learning extensively regarding Tumah. And that's how we got into the subject of Tumah, and which we discussed for the last two Parakim. And now our Gemara returns to the primary subject of the Masechta, the halachas of making a shvua, what is considered a shvua, and when is chas v'shalom over the aveira of making a false shvua, which, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, in most circumstances, if somebody b'shoigig violates a shvua, he's chayiv a carbon oil of a yoyred, and if he does so b'mezid, he's chayiv malchus. So says our Mishnah, Shvua Shtaim Shen Arba. When we speak about Shvuas, it's Shtaim Shen Arba, the two types of Shvuas that are discussed by the Torah, which through Drasha we expand to have to say that it refers to four Shvuas. Shvua She'oichel V'Shelo Yoichel, if one makes a Shvua that he will eat or he will not eat, those are the two types of Shvuas that are Midaraisa. Shochalti, v'shloyachalti, if somebody makes a shvua falsely that he ate when he actually did not eat, or vice versa, those are the two shvuas that we learn from a drasha that are also considered shvuas. Says the Mishnah further, shvua shloyachal, if one makes a shvua that he will not eat, v'achal kol shehu, and even if he eats a kol shehu, he violates that shvua, chayiv, he's chayiv a carbon oil of a yoyred. Divrei Rabbi Kiva, that is the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Amalei Rabbi Kiva, so they say to Rabbi Kiva, heichem mitzinu ba'echel kolshu shu chayiv. Where do we find that the achila of a kolshu should be considered a valid achila that you are saying shezeh chayiv, that if somebody makes a shvua, they will not eat, as soon as he eats a kolshu, it's considered that he violated the shvua. Amalei Rabbi Kiva, response of Kiva to the Chachamim, v'heichem etzino v'medaber mevi carbon. Where do we find that somebody makes a statement, and because of that statement he would have to bring a carbon, shezeh medaber mevi carbon, that this person, this unique situation of Shvua. So Pash B'Shat Rabbi Kiva is saying that Shvuas are unique, and therefore we can't bring a raya one way or the other way because of Shvuas. As we understand, or as we try to understand, the machloikis of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbanim. Whereas Rabbi Kiva says that if somebody makes a shvua that he will not eat, he may not even eat a kol shehu. Where Rabbanim say he may not eat a kazayis, we need to think about a number of circumstances. What are they, or are they not included in the machloikis of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbanim? Our Gemara is referring to a situation where somebody makes a shvua that he will eat, that he will not eat, and is he violating the shvua as soon as he eats a kol shehu? But what about another situation? What happens if somebody makes a shvua that he's going to eat? Will the same machloikas apply? Will the Rabbanan say that he has to eat a kazayis? And will Rabbi Kiva say that he only has to eat a kol shehu? Or another situation. Our Mishnah began by discussing a shvua for the past, where one made a shvua that he did eat, where he actually didn't eat. Where we again have the same machloikis of Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanan, where according to Rabbi Kiva, it's, if he ate a kol shehu, it's considered that he violated the shvua, and according to Rabbanan, it's only if he ate a kazayis. To answer, or to perhaps attempt to answer these questions, we need to perhaps first understand what is the basis of the reasoning of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbanan. And there are a number of explanations given by the Achronim, but there are primarily two, Rishonim and Achronim, but the primary two explanations. One is the explanation of the Mishnah Lamelech, who explains the Gemara fairly simply, and he says that the machloikus between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbanan is, do we follow Lashon Torah, or do we follow Lashon Bnei Adam? Meaning, in the Torah way of speaking, Achila, as we know, is always a kazayis. And therefore he says here too, what Achila means, say the Rabbanan, are a kazayis. Whereas Rabbanan say, perhaps in the Torah world, the language of Achila, in the Torah, when we speak about Achila, we mean a kazayis. But people, when they speak about eating, they even mean a kol shehu. How do we understand the opinion of the Rabbanan? Actually, in that itself, I saw a machlokes. Some explain that the Rabbanan mean that people follow the Lashon HaTorah. And since in the Lashon HaTorah, Achila means a kazayis, so too do people, when they speak about Achila, mean a kazayis. I saw another Pshat HaShal, so Tshuva Mahava explains. He says, since we are so influenced by the way the Torah has such a profound influence on our everyday life, even though perhaps a person normally, when he would say Achila, he would mean a kol shehu, but since we live with the Torah, and in the Torah, Achila means a kazayis, that has an influence on us, that when we say the word Achila, we certainly mean a kazayis. That's one way of understanding the machlokes of Rabbi Akiva Rabbanan. If we understand it this way, then under all circumstances, whether it represents a kula or a chumra, the halacha will be that we follow, according to Rabbi Akiva, we follow the Lashon Bnei Adam, and it's going to be, the achila will be a kazayis, a kol shehu, and according to Rabbanan, we follow Lashon HaTorah, and it will be a kazayis, whether it comes out l'kula l'chumra. But there's another way of understanding this machloikis. And the other way of understanding this machloikis, explain the Mefarshim, is Rabbi Akiva here, and that's what he's saying in the Mishnah actually, is coming to teach us the severity involved in Shavuah. And that's what he says in the last words of the Mishnah, V'heichem etzinim v'daber umevi karbon. Where in Halacha do we find a concept that somebody which is completely permitted becomes usur because a person said so? It's very unique to Hilchis Teshvuah. And therefore, since Shvuah represents a chumra, says Rabbi Akiva, we're going to treat it more strictly, and therefore, even though normally Achila means only a kazayis, here it will mean even a kol shehu. But if that's the way we understand the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, now then we'll only follow Rabbi Akiva's opinion that way, l'chumra, and not l'kula. And therefore, even Rabbi Akiva will agree, for example, where somebody made a shvur that he's going to eat, that he has to eat a kazayis. Because this that Rabbi Akiva says, that by shvuas we consider a kol shehu and achila, that's only to teach us a chumrah. For example, as we said, that if somebody made a shvuah that he won't eat, so he's not even allowed to eat a kol shehu. That's a chumrah. But when it comes to say, for example, that somebody said he's going to eat, then even Rabbi Akiva perhaps would agree, because we're following a chumrah by shvuah, that you would have to eat. To fulfill your shvuah properly, you would have to eat a whole kazayis. Starts the Gemara, lememra, based on the way we've been now understanding, if somebody uses the word oichel, it means the achilna. The shoichel means the achilna mashma, that I will eat. Ask the Gemara on this understanding, and in understanding this Gemara, we have to just say one word of introduction, which actually we're going to discuss more in a couple of moments. But the word of introduction that I want to say is that when it comes to Nedarim and Shavuos, as we learned extensively when we learned Masechta Nedarim, there are certain statements that are made that the Gemara, the Mishnayos, define those statements. They have a specific meaning. And once those statements are defined, that becomes the meaning of those statements. And therefore, our Mishnah seems to be saying that when somebody uses the words oichel, he means dochil namashma, that I will eat. Ask the Gemara of Raminu, but it says in a Braisa, shvua lo yoichelach, if somebody makes a shvua that I will not eat something of yours. Shvua shoichelach. And as Rashi explains, what is meant with the statement is that whatever I eat of yours should be usher to me with an isser shvua. Or, if somebody makes a statement of lo shvua lo yoichelach, what I don't eat of yours will not be usher, but what I eat of yours will be usher. Mechla lav atu shemei hain. Under all of these circumstances, the halach is that usher. One may not eat food from the other person. So in all of these cases, we're saying that the word oichel means that I will not eat. And our Mishnah was saying that the word oichel means that I will eat. So how do we reconcile this contradiction? Amr Abaya says Abaya l'olam dochel namashma. The word oichel means that I will eat. The Braisa says when I use that word, it means I won't eat. Answers the Gemara like Kasha. Kan besarim balecho, kan mishem besarim balecho. We have to look at the circumstances. If the circumstances are, and as the Gemara explains, if Misnisen, our Mishnah is referring to a situation, b'she'em esavim b'alachol, where nobody's asking me to eat. So if nobody's asking me to eat from their food, and now I go and I make a shvua, sh'oichel, that I will eat, it's obvious that what did I mean with that shvua? What I meant with that shvua was that I want to, what I want to eat, that I swear that I will eat of your food. However, the Bryce is referring to a situation, somebody's asking me, repeatedly asking me, to eat by him. Vekomer, and I don't want to. And I say, I don't want to eat by you. And as the Mefarshim explained, the proof that I really don't want is because, as the Gemara says, I keep on repeating myself that I refuse to eat by you. And then, on top of just me saying that I refuse to eat by you, I make a shvua. Hachikam is certainly what is meant with that shvua is shvua shloichel. I'm making a shvua that I won't eat by you. So again, we have to look at the circumstances to understand what is meant when I say the word dochelna. That's one. That's a bias teretz. Rav Ashi gives a different teretz. Tani, that actually the way to understand the brayse is that I didn't just say shvu shoichel, but I actually said shvu shi'i oichel. Tani shvu shi'i oichelach, that I made a shvu that I will not eat. Ask the Gemara, if that's what the Brice is speaking about, that I said explicitly that I will not eat, so obviously that's a shvu that I won't eat. And what is the chiddush of the Brice? Answers the Gemara, ma de tema, lishna de iskalalei, that perhaps I got confused. And it should not be considered that type of a shvur, kamashmon, that it is. And here too, the Rishonim explained the Gemara. The Rishonim explained that if I meant that I don't want to eat from you, so the wording I should have used was shvur shalai oichalach. This language of shvur shi oichalach is highly irregular. The fact that, and therefore, it leads us to not be quite certain that I indeed mean not to eat of yours. That's why the chiddush of the brayse is that shvur shi oichelach means that I meant to make a shvur that I will not eat. Ask Tosfos, if we're not quite certain of what I meant, then why don't you just ask me what I meant? So Tosfos gives two terutzim. One terutz, Tosfos says, is I don't remember. I said this statement, and now I don't remember what I meant with this statement. And that's what the Braisa says, is when we don't know how to, when I don't remember what I meant, we say that I certainly meant, that I that I will not eat, that I will not eat of yours. That's one teretz. Tosfos gives another teretz that I say what I, that I meant when I made, when I said this terminology, what I meant was that whatever the Torah says, that's what it should mean, that's what it meant. But this, as the Rishonim and Achronim point out, is somewhat, it's somewhat difficult to understand this entire approach that Tosfos is taking. For have we not said just a number, a few moments ago, that when it comes to Nedarim and Shavuos, there are specific terminologies that Chazal established that have specific meaning, and it's not up to me now to define what I meant. So why over here are we allowing me to make, to define what I meant and accepting that? So of course, the simple answer, which many Rishonim give, is that if there's a specific statement said, and the specific statement has as meaning that Chazal established, I have no right and I have no ability to change that. I can be matan neder, but I have no right to change that. Whereas over here, the very statement is not clear, because as we quoted the Rishonim, the Ran, saying that this wording that I used is a wording that's not the wording that's normally used when somebody means that he doesn't want to eat. Therefore, we do allow a person to give it his own definition. The Karben Nisanel gives a different explanation. The Karben Nisanel says that here we're referring to a situation that immediately after I made the statement, I'm asked for clarification. And where is the halacha that that a person does not have the ability to define a statement? That's only while after the statement was made. But if the statement was made, if it's immediately after the statement was made, there the halacha is that one does have a right to define a statement. The Maram Shik takes a different approach. The Maram Shik's approach is that a person has a right to, has no right to define his statement when his statement affects other people. But when his statement affects himself, there the person has every right to make a statement. And here we're referring indeed to such a situation where it's only affecting me. I will eat or I won't eat. There, the halacha, he says, is a person has a right to define a statement. Tana Rabbanan, says the Braisa, Mifta. If somebody uses the word Mifta, it means that I'm making a shvua. Isser, if I say the word Isser, I mean I'm making a shvua. But now continues the Braisa, Isser, Isser. Ask the Braisa, what is the halacha if I use the word Isser? Imatayim Isser Shvua. If I say it's a word, it's a language, a shvua, chayiv, I would be chayiv if I violated that shvua, I'd be chayiv a carbon. Bimlav, but if it's not a language of shvua, then I would be potter if I violated the shvua. Ask the Gemara, I don't understand what the Braisa is saying. Imata oimer is a shvua? You're questioning if Isser is a language of shvua? For Amrit, weren't the first words of this Braisa is a shvua who? That Isser is a language of shvua? Answer the Baya Hachikama. Mifta is certainly a language of shvua. Isser is a language of mitzvahs b'shvua. As we will be learning, there's one of the ways of creating a neder or a shvua is through the concept of atfasa. What atfasa says is that I don't say specifically that something is also b'neder or b'shvua, but I connect it to something else that is also b'neder b'shvua. And that's what the Braisa says. Mifta is a language of shvua. Isser is a language of mitzvahs b'shvua. Isser, Isser, and what is the halacha when I'm matzvahs b'shvua? Says the Braisa. Imata oimer, if the halacha is that mitzvahs b'shvua is k'maitzi shvua mipivdami, that atfas and shvua is considered a valid way of making a shvua, then chayiv, it's considered a full-fledged shvua. But lav, were hatfasa not acceptable to shvua, then potter, I won't be chayiv carbon because it's not a valid shvua. Ask the Gemara in analyzing the Braisa. Umamai the mifta shvua, and from where do we know that the word mifta means a shvua? The ksib, because the pasuk says, oy nefesh kisishova levata besfosayim. Ask the Gemara, isa nami. The word isa also the ksib, the Torah used the pasuk, kol neder v'kol shvuas iser. So, says the Gemara, rather, the way to understand is as follows. Abayi just explained that the word Isser means Hatfasa b'shvua. Asks the Gemara, where do we see that Isser represents Hatfasa b'shvua? The Ksiv, because the Pasuk says, Oy Osra Isra al Nafsha b'shvua. B'shvua means it's connected to already an existing shvua, which is Hatfasa b'shvua. Asked the Gemara, Mifta Namio Ksiv, isn't this similarly the same type of Pasuk regarding a Mifta, where the Torah says, L'chol ashiyivata ha'odom b'shvua? So why are we saying that Issa represents Hatfas B'Shvua and Mifter represents a full-fledged declaration of Shvua? El Mabaya, Mifter Shvua Mihacha, then Mifter is considered a full-fledged language of Shvua, we know, because the Pasuk says, V'mhaya Siyel Ish Nadarela, if a woman becomes Muresis to a man, and she already has a nether on her, or miftas for sale asha osra al nafsha. So here clearly the pasuk is calling it miftas for sale asha osra al nafsha. The pasuk is saying that's how she has a shvua. Vila shvua like kama my osra atzma. When the Torah speaks about shvua, the Torah doesn't say any other way that she became also the shvua other than the word mifta. So from here we see that the word mifta represents a shvua. So according to Abaya, what the Brice is teaching us is that the word Isser represents a Hatfos B'Shvur. And furthermore, according to Abaya, Hatfos B'Shvur is a legitimate way of creating a Shvur. Rava has a different explanation of Brice. Loyalam Emelach Mitras B'Shvur Lav Kamach Yishvur B'Tiv Dami. Rava holds Hatfos B'Shvur is not a valid way of creating a Shvur. Vach Kamer. And this is the way to understand the Brice. Mifta represents a language of Shvua. Isser also represents a language of Shvua. However, the Braisa immediately qualifies what it just said when it said that Isser represents a vowel language of Shvua, because it says the Braisa, Isrei the Isser, when the Torah used the word Isser, Hitilu akosu beneder l'shvua, the Torah placed the word Isser between a neder and Shvua, to teach us, Haitzi v'losh neder, if the word Issa was used in the context of a neder, it will be considered like a neder. If it was used in the context of a shvua, if it was used b'losh and shvua, it will be a shvua. Heichan atilu, where do we see, says Rava, that the Torah put the word Issa between Ndarim and Shvuas? Because the pasuk says, "When beis ish nedara isra usa nafsh b'shvua," the pasuk begins with a neder and ends with shvua to teach us that isra can be used both as a neder and a shvua. So our Gemara clearly indicates that there's a difference between a neder and a shvua. On the conceptual side, what is the difference between neder and shvua? A neder is an isra cheftza, and a shvua is an isra gavra. Isra cheftza means that the item, I'm saying that this specific item should be also to me. That's Issa Cheftza. And Issa Gavra represents, it says that I make a shvua that I, the person, the Gavra, will or will not do a specific act. But where are the more practical nafkamina between a neder and a shvua? So two nafkaminas we're going to point out at this point are, one is that it's considered a valid shvua midaraisa. You have to mention the Shem Hashem, whereas by a neder, you do not have to mention the Shem Hashem for it to be considered a valid neder, midaraisa. And another nafkamina between a neder and a shvua is that by a shvua, there's a chiv, as we've been learning, and been the big subject of Amsechta, there's a chiv carbon oil of a yoyrid. There is no chiv carbon oil of a yoyrid by a There is no chiv carbon oil of a yoyred by violation of a nether. Says the Gemara, this machlokes that we have been learning, if there's a concept of hatfas b'shvua, says the Gemara, where Abaye says that it is a valid way and Rava says it isn't, actually Vazvel Tamayu is already a machlokes that we've learned of Abaye v'Rava. Ditma mitzvah b'shvua, Abaye Omar, Kamaiti Shvua B'Piv Dami, it's considered a valid Shvua. For Rava Malav Kamaiti Shvua B'Piv Dami, it's not considered a valid Shvua. There is a Machlokes Rishonim in understanding the opinion of Rava. when Rava says Hatfasa b'shvua is not considered a shvua, what does Rava mean? There are those that say that Rava holds that Hatfasa b'shvua is entirely meaningless. There are Rishonim, that the opinion of the Ravid, that there is no chiyuv carbon if somebody violates a shvua that was created by Hatfasa b'shagig, but there would be a chiyuv malchus. The Rambam says that it's considered a valid shvua midaraisa, but there is no chiyuv carbon nor chiyuv malchus. Ritva gives two explanations. One explanation is that that according to Rava, Hatfasa b'shvua is not considered a shvua or midaraisa, but it is considered a shvua midarabanan. And another opinion he says, and we won't go too much into it, is that when we learned Masecht Nedarim and when we learned Masecht Nazir, we spoke about Yodis Nedarim and Yodis Shvua, that according to Rava, Hatfasa b'shvua will fall into the category of Yodis. So clearly Rava holds that Hatfasa b'shvua is not considered a shvua. Meisvei asked the Gemara from the following Braisa. It says in a Braisa, Eze Isser Ham B'Torah, what does the Torah mean when it says the word Isser? That if somebody says, if somebody says that I won't eat meat or drink wine, like on the day that my father passed away, I don't eat wine, drink wine or eat meat. Or like on the day that that individual passed away, that I don't eat meat or drink wine. Or that we know that on the third day of Tishrei is a fast day, Tzom Gedalia. Gedalia was the governor that was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar to rule over the remaining Jews that were in Eretz Yisrael after Churban Bayis Rishon. And when he was murdered, and after he was murdered, ultimately it caused that all of Klal Yisrael should go into Golus. There are some that actually say that Gedalia wasn't killed on the third day of Tishrei. He was actually killed on Rosh Hashanah, but they didn't want to establish a fast day in Rosh Hashanah, so it was established on the day after Rosh Hashanah. Or if somebody says that I may not eat meat or drink wine, like the day that I saw the Yerushalayim in its destruction, also, in all these cases, the nether is considered a nether. When is it considered a nether? He's connecting himself to the situation that I may not eat meat or drink wine, just like on the day that is the yard site of my father, that I don't eat meat or drink wine. So it has to be, says Abaya, a situation where he indeed doesn't eat meat or drink wine on all the yard site of his father. Interestingly enough, the Trumas Hadeshin uses this Gemara to discuss a question. The question is, which day should one hold as a yard site? Should a person hold as a yard site the day that his parent died, or should a person hold as a yard site the day that his parent was buried? Why would we think that we should keep it as the day that his parent was buried? So he explains, because Rivka said to Yaakov, Loma eshkel shneichem gem yachad. She said in Nevuah that she's going to lose her two sons, Yaakov and Esav, on the same day. And indeed, they were buried on the same day, because we all recall that when they brought Yaakov Avinu to be buried in the Maris Machpelah, Esav came with a claim that it belonged to him, and Don Ben Chushim, in seeing what happened, killed Esav, and therefore they both, Esav died on the day Yaakov was buried. But they didn't die on the same day, for Yaakov was buried many days after he died. So that's why we would perhaps, says the Trumas Hadeshin, assume that the day that should be held for yard site is the day of the burial. From Al Gemara, however, it becomes clear, and so is the Minig, that the yard site should be held on the day that the person was actually died. Kiyoyim Shemes by Aviv. There is a Machloikas HaPoiskim regarding the first yard site, where the Taz is of the opinion that even the first yard site is held on the day, on the anniversary of the day of the death of the person. The Shach disagrees. The Shach says the first yard site should be held from the day from the Yom HaKfura. The reasoning for the Shach is because the Avelis is supposed to be a full 12 months, and Avelis only begins at burial. So if we're going to if the burial and the death were not on the same day, it will turn out there weren't a full 12 months of Avelis. It's Tali B'minik. There's also an interesting question. The Mefarshim give a number of reasons why one fast on the day of a parent's yahrzeit. One reason is because it's Reya Mazli. It's obviously a day that's not a good day for this individual because his parent died on that day. And another reason is because it's a day that this nifter is taken to din, and this should be a schus that his children should daven and do tshuva and learn, and there'll be a schus for the nifter. And actually, as the Shalos Tshuvos Chelkos Yaakov points out, there's a nafkamina lahalocha between these two reasons. What would be if one lives in Eretz Yisrael and his parent lives in America, and his parent, let's say, died in the afternoon, died, let's say, the fourth day of the month in the afternoon, and where the son lives, it's already in Eretz Yisrael the fifth day of the month. Which day should the son fast? If we say it's because it's a schus for the neshama that passed away, so he should fast on the day of the yahrzeit, which is the fourth of the month. If, however, we say that the person fasts because it's a day that's Reya Mazli, it's a bad day for this individual, then he should fast on the fifth day, because that was the day that he had bad mazel where he was located. The Gesher Chaim paskins that we should always follow the yom. We should always follow the day that the person passed away, whatever the date it was where he passed away. So now Al Gemara said clearly that Hatfasa by Neder is considered a valid Hatfasa. So Bishlam Labaya that says he will explain the Midvin Nitris by Neder Neder, just like Hatfasa by Neder is considered a valid Neder, so too does he hold Mitzvah B'Shvua is considered a valid Shvua. El Rava, but according to Rava, that Atfasa is not considered valid by Shvua, so it shouldn't be considered valid by Nedarim either. That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara. If Rava holds that Atfasa is not valid by Shvuas, it shouldn't be valid by Nedarim either. And here the Brisa clearly says that it is valid. Amlach Rava, Tritz V'Eimahachi. The way to understand the Brisa is as follows. Eze is a nether on the Torah. What is considered a nether? Midaraisa. Hoy merelai, shloyach abas v'shloyach t'yayin. If somebody makes a nether, he's not going to eat meat or drink wine. Kiyoyim shebeis by aviv. Kiyoyim shenere by plani. Vamashmu. Vushenader uba ma'isiyoyim. When is it considered a valid hatfasa? If it's ready usur from that day. So according to way Rashi explains the Gemara, the Gemara is teaching us that for it to be a valid neder, you have to have two steps. Number one is you have to say explicitly that something is usur to you. I'm not going to drink wine. And then on top of that, you also have to do atfasa, and that's strictly by nedarim. The Ramban takes great issue with Rashi, because the Ramban can't accept the fact that if somebody says beferish explicitly that it's usur for him to drink wine, that it should be only usur if he was matvis. And therefore the Ramban explains that certainly if somebody says something is usur to him but neder, it will be usur. However, Ramban adds is that what the Brice is teaching us is that where one chooses to be matfis the nether, he has to be matfis it properly for it to be still considered a valid nether. My Tama, what is the reason? Again, we're learning with Rashi that you have to have an atfasa. Amakra, ish ki yid a nether l'Hashem, at shi de bedavar another. So again, according to Rashi's understanding of Rava, Hatfasa b'shvua is not a valid hatfasa. Hatfasa b'neder, not only is it valid, but it's absolutely necessary. ask the Gemara, let's speak about the different examples that the Braisa used for Atfasa. Kiyoin Shemes by Oviv, that if somebody makes Atfasa, that just like I accepted upon myself to fast on the day that my father passed away, so too this other day should be considered the same. Pshita, that it's a Dover Hanodr. What is the Chiddush? Answers the Gemara. The Chiddush is Kiyoim Shneri by Gedalia ben Achikim Istruchlei. The Chiddush is that Atfasa in some Gedalia is considered a valid hatfasa if the person accepted upon himself not to eat on some gedalia. Even if the person didn't accept the fast on some gedalia, he may not eat on some gedalia, and therefore, by being matfis in some gedalia, it's not a valid hatfasa. Because some gedalia is not a day that's also to me to eat because of a nether. It's also to me to eat because it's some gedalia. Kamash one, that's considered a valid hatfasa. And the question is indeed why. Some gedalia you're not allowed to eat anyway. So why is it considered also to eat on some gedalia because of a nether? So the Rishonim give two answers. One answer is because the iser to eat on some gedalia is only an iser drabonon, and therefore it's not considered essentially usur to eat on that day. Another answer given is that if there's an iser deraisa to eat, if somebody were making a shvua not to eat, it would not be valid. Why? Because as we've learned, and we'll spend a lot of time learning, there's a concept of mushbav oimim ar Sinai. A person already has a shvua that he has to fulfill all of the mitzvahs. And ain't shvua chal shvua. You can't make another shvua on something that's already usur to you anyway. And that's why the second shvua is not a valid shvua. However, the isser, even if it is usur, is only an isser shvua. But to make a neder on top of a dvar mitzvah, given as we explained earlier in our shir, a shvua, or the dinim of the Torah, represent an issa gavra. A neder represents an issa cheftza. A neder is chal on top of something that's already awesome b'shvua, on top of something that's awesome anyway. And therefore, since here he's making a neder, it's valid. Says the Gemara, Vav Rabbi Yochanan Sovelah de Rava. Rabbi Yochanan also agrees with Rav's interpretation of the Braisa. The Chiyas Rav and Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Mifta Layachalach, if somebody uses the words Mifta, or somebody uses the words Issa Layachalach, in both of these cases it's considered a Shvua. And as the Rishash explains, why can't we interpret that Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Abaya, and that he means that it's considered a Tfas B'Shvua? So he explains that Amoraim, when they say their opinion, are much more explicit than Tanoim. And where Rabbi Yochanan to mean that Isser is considered a Shvua because of its Atfasa b'Shvua, he would have said so. The fact that he doesn't mention the concept of Atfasa, it clearly indicates that he agrees with Rava that Isser represents a wording of Shvua. Says the Gemara, Ki Asr Avdimi Am Rabbi Yochanan. We know the halacha is that before somebody does something that he's not allowed to do, he's supposed to be given Asra. The Sra has to clearly indicate what Isser is involved. So if somebody makes a Shvua, Oichel v'lo Yoichel, that he makes a Shvua, he's going to eat or not going to eat, and if he violates that Shvua, it's a situation of a Shvua Sheka. That's a Rosh Mahachim, when we give him a Sra, we have to use the Pasuk of Yishav b'Shmi l'Sheka. If somebody, however, makes a Shvua v'chalti v'lo Yechalti, he says he did or didn't eat, which is false, that's a Shvua Shav. Because the definition, as the Rishonim explain, of a Shvua Shav is where somebody is saying that something which is obviously false. So the classical case of a Shvua Shav is where somebody says this wood table is gold. That clearly is a Shvua Shav. But truthfully, even if somebody says that he did eat or didn't eat when the opposite is true, it's the same Shvua Shav. It may not be as known to everybody, but it also falls into the category of Shvua Shav. From the pasuk of Vayisis Hashem El Kechav L'Shav, somebody makes a kenomis. A kenomis is a type of a neder where somebody says that this object should be offered to him like a kainim, like a carbon, and he violates that. The Rishonim debate Many Rishonim are the opinion that it's not only by Konamis if somebody violates it, the lav is Loyachal Dvaroi, but actually by all Nedarim and Shvuas, the lav of Loyachal Dvaroi is applicable. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in a Braisa, Shav v'sheker Echad Hein. The Braisa uses the word Shav v'sheker are one. Says the Gemara, my lav, what doesn't the Braisa mean? That just like Shvuas Shav, as we have been defining, means L'Shavar, Av Sheker means L'Shavar. Alma, so we see from here that Achalti V'loy Achalti is Shekeru. It's considered a Shvuas Shav. Different than what we learned before, that Achalti V'loy Achalti falls into the category of Shvuas Shav. Says, well, that's not the way to understand the Braisa. Midiria, Hod Ki'isa, V'akadi'isa. A shvua of achalti v'loy achalti is a shvua shav. A shvua of oichel v'loy oichel is a shvua sheker. What does the Braisa mean when it says dover echad hein? What is the Braisa trying to teach us? Says the Gemara, the bediva echad nemru, that the isser of shvua shav and the isser of shvua sheker was said by in one time, as we find Kitanya, the Torah. In the Seres Hadibris, in Parashas Yisroi, uses the word Zocher Shem Shabbos. The Torah in Parashas Veschanan uses the word Shomer Shem Shabbos. So it's not the same word. And as the Ramban says, if we look at all of the differences between the Luchos Rishonis and the Luchos Shnius, this is the most profound difference, the word Zocher Shomer, to teach us, B'diba Echad Nemru, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the word Zocher and Shomer at the exact same time. What we can't normally say, it's impossible for a human being to say two words exactly at the same time, nor to hear two words at the exact same time. So as the Ben Yoyod explains, so why did Hashem do so? So he said, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show us how important Shabbos was. So how did he show it to us? By saying Zocher v'Shomer b'diba echad, and as the Chiddush Erim goes on to say, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave us extra koiches, extra abilities to hear something that normally we can't hear, all because even though when somebody talks to another human being, he never would have such abilities. This was part of the schus that Klal Yisrael had by hearing the Seres HaDibros from Hashem or from Hashem through Moshe. So the Gemara is suggesting that what the Braisa means Shav v'Sheker echad, they would say b'diba echad. Ask the Gemara Bishlam HaHesam regarding Shabbos, there was a reason b'diba echad nemro. Kedav Adabar Hava, Noshim Chayos b'Kiddush Hayom v'Atayra. Noshim are obligated in Kiddush. Why? The Torah says Zoch v'Shama to teach us that even though Shabbos is a mitzvah say Shizman Groma, the chiv to make Kiddush in Shabbos is a mitzvah say Shizman Groma, which women are normally exempt from, to teach us Kosh Yeshna B'Shmira Yeshna B'Zchira. Whoever is obligated to not violate the lavim of Chilul Shabbos, which clearly affect women also, because women are only exempt from mitzvah say, not from mitzvah lois say. Therefore, says the Gemara, Hani Nasha Hoyal v'Istam B'Shmira, Istam Nam B'Zchira, they have an obligation to make Kiddush. What does it mean that they have an obligation to make Kiddush? Machlokes Rishonim, as Tosfos points out, either that there's a full-fledged obligation to make Kiddush on wine, others say that there's an obligation to make Kiddush on wine, but there is no obligation to drink the wine. And others say that the halacha is that one has to be Mekaddish Shabbos. When Shabbos begins, one has to specifically sanctify the Shabbos. Elohacha asked the Gemara, L'may Hilchus Meboilei, what does the Braisa mean when it says that Shav v'Sheker Echad Hein? This question, this issue of women being Mechuyiv in Kiddush, Midaraisa, as our Gemara now teaches us, whatever the Chiyiv Kiddush is very relevant l'aloch l'maisa. Because, as we just said, midaraisa, it is the opinion of almost all Rishonim, that one fulfills the chiv of Kiddush just by being Mekaddish Shabbos Pepeh. by sanctifying, saying that today is Shabbos. So the issue that comes up, discussed the Paisim, is that when a man davens Shmona Esrei Friday night, he's Mekadosh Shabbos. He speaks about the Kedusha of Shabbos. And therefore, if a woman doesn't daven Friday night, and as our Gemara says, she still has an obligation midaraisa to be, she still has a chiv deraisa to make kiddush. The man doesn't have such a chiv deraisa. Only the woman has such. The man already fulfilled his chiv deraisa. The man would fulfill that, the woman didn't. So now the problem is when the man comes home and he makes kiddush for his family, which is the custom in most homes, there's a Dogel Mervava, the Oid of Yehuda discusses, that even though normally we have a concept of Kol Yisrael, a Rei Mezel Azeh, and one person who already fulfilled the mitzvah could be Maitzi, someone else who wasn't Mekayim the mitzvah, the Dogel Mervava isn't quite sure if we say Kol Yisrael, a Rei Mezel Azeh, between men and women, and therefore the Dogel Mervava says we have a problem. If the man davened and the woman didn't daven, how could he be mitzi her in kiddush? And therefore, even though most of Paiskim hold that we do say Kol Yisrael or Rebbe Zelazah between men and women, this right thing to do is that the woman should also daven Friday night, and therefore if she'll daven Friday night, she also already fulfilled her chiv deraisa. Or some Paiskim suggest that when her husband comes home, a family comes home, she should say Good Shabbos. And by her saying it Shabbos, that, whatever greeting for Shabbos, that is the fulfillment of, the basic fulfillment of Kiddush. So now she also only has a Chiv Derabbanan, and therefore he has a Chiv Derabbanan, and she has a Chiv Derabbanan, he could be Maitzi her. There are other situations that have to be discussed. Let's say there is no adult male at home, and there are only children at home, and she wants her son, who's not yet bar mitzvah, to make kiddush on her behalf. Now we have a real issue, because his chiv is never more than a chiv drabbanan. The woman who's already an adult has a chiv deraisa, and therefore, under those circumstances, the woman should be very careful, perhaps not to be yoytzi kiddush with her son, or with any boy who's not yet bar mitzvah. Zoch v'shomer, b'dibur echad nemru. Mefarshim say that Zohar represents what we're supposed to do. Shomer represents what we're not supposed to do. How does a person going to do always what he's supposed to do and avoid always doing what he's not supposed to do? B'dibur Echad. And we always have Hashem in mind. Shvisi Hashem l'negdi samid. Zohar v'shomer. We will always be on the right path to do what we're supposed to do and avoid what we don't, what we're not supposed to do, b'diba echad, that we have a Kodesh Baruch Hu always in mind.